Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
We're going to continue this series called Red Letter Day. I think it's kind of odd that we're not on the last message, and yet it's called It Is Finished. But it's not finished. Okay, so we still got one more to go, and we'll get into that next week. But today we're going to get into this one for just a second. I want you to look at John chapter 19, verse 28 through 30. And it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill Scripture, I thirst. And we talked about that last Sunday. We said, I thirst. And we talked about how we thirst a lot of times spiritually, and how we've got to depend and lean on the Lord for our sustenance, for providing for us. And so verse 29 says, a jar full of sour wine stood there, and they put a sponge in the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Today I want to talk to you on the subject of it is finished. And to be honest with you, I'm actually going to end up having a couple messages out of this one passage of Scripture. I'm going to do one this week, and then in a couple of weeks in our next series, I'm going to come back and revisit this from a different angle. But for today, I want you to look at the word finished. In the Greek, that word means to end, to complete, or to pay in full. And the example that they give is the old school pirate telescope. Y'all remember that? Y'all ever watch cartoons? My son just got into Popeye. Like, he just learned who Popeye was. And he learned who Popeye was because we're trying to get him to eat spinach, right? And so we're trying to teach him that if you eat spinach, you get big muscles like Popeye. And so we're trying to teach him that. Well, in Popeye, you had Bluto, and Bluto was oftentimes on a ship, and they would always get out the telescope, and what would happen? It goes click, 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 right? Like, there's multiple levels and stages until it's at full strength. And the word complete here means, in the understanding of it, is it's almost like there's levels to it, and it says it is now at full strength. It has completed every stage or level. So when Jesus is on the cross and he screams out, it is finished, what he's saying is I've been through all the levels, I've been through all the stages, and this stage is now complete. This debt has been paid, I've done it all, right? And so Jesus finished his job. The problem is, for us, is we oftentimes walk through life with unfinished business. Think about it for a second. There's a lot of us that have unfinished business. In the book of Revelation 3, Jesus is speaking here to the churches. And here's one of the things he says in verse 1. He says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Jesus is saying to the church, he says, hey church, you got to wake up here. We got a job to do. I've called you to do something, but I have not found your works complete. There's something else you need to do. You have unfinished business. My son Colt is 6 years old. When my wife was pregnant with Colt, she decided that she wanted new floors in our house. When we bought our house, it was in foreclosure, and the builder had just gone through and just put construction grade stuff everywhere. We had this cheap carpet, it was paper thin, and it was everywhere in the house. And my wife said, I want new floors. And so we went and we ripped up all the carpet and we started putting on new floors. Well, I got a quote from somebody that was going to lay the floors, and they wanted, like, I don't know, $10,000. It was a bunch of money. Whatever it was a bunch of money. And I, like a dummy, listened to some of my friends who said, you can do this all by yourself. You can lay floors. And I said, I've never laid a floor before. They said, we will help you lay floors. I said, but you've never laid a floor before. And they said, how hard can it be? I know now how hard it is, right? My son Colt is 6 years old. I started that process when my wife was pregnant. There are still parts of my house that are not finished. There's still trim left to be put down. I have unfinished business. I need to walk off the stage right now and go home. We have unfinished business. And I want you to look at your notes today. You know, I don't just print those out just to have a filler. So look at your notes today. There's a place in there, and I want you to, in just a minute, I'm going to run through some ideas here, but I want you to begin to think about what unfinished business you might have. What is it that God's called you to do or called you to be that you haven't done yet? Think about it. Maybe God wants you to forgive somebody, and you haven't forgiven them yet. Maybe God wants you to restore a relationship in your life, maybe with a family member, maybe with a friend. Maybe God wants you to restore a relationship, and you haven't done that yet. Maybe God wants you to finish school, and you haven't done that yet. Maybe there's this idea about getting healthy. Tim talked about going to the gym, and we all have a good idea about getting healthy, and maybe you know God has called you to get healthy, and you haven't done that yet. You haven't finished the process, right? Maybe God's calling you to share your faith with somebody or invite somebody to church. Maybe God's calling you to give something. Maybe there's something that some sin in your life that God, the Holy Spirit, is constantly telling you, you need to deal with this. You need to get this right. You need to get this right. And you just keep pushing it off, and you know you need to deal with it. You've got unfinished business. And that's not a place where we want to be. We don't want to be in a place where Jesus, in the book of Revelation, is calling us out, saying, look, I've not found your works complete. There's unfinished business here. You need to wake up. There's been plenty of examples of this in my own life. There was a time when Perry and I were, when we first started the church, we had two vehicles, and we decided, I really felt like God told me to give a vehicle away, and I just procrastinated, and I waited, and I thought, well, I had good excuses. We all have good excuses. I thought, if I give this vehicle to this person, then this person over here is going to be upset because they didn't get a vehicle. Now, look, I'm not talking about like a BMW, okay? This was a Buick, and it was old, and so I was like, I don't know about this. And then I thought, well, if I give this vehicle away, then I'm not going to have a vehicle, you know, and what am I? I'm just going to walk to work every day. Like, how are we going to make this work? And I don't know what I'm going to do. And I procrastinated for like 2 years. And that vehicle just kept breaking down. I kept having to pay more money, or my other vehicle kept breaking down. I had to keep paying money for my other vehicle. And this vehicle was running fine, and it's the one God told me to give away. Well, then that gives me another excuse. God, I can't give away my only good car. You know, I mean, this other one's costing me money. Finally, I decided to be obedient, and I gave away my car. And then for a while, I had to drive the church van around. I looked like a creeper. We didn't have any stickers on the side of the van. It's just me in a white van driving around trying to pick up kids from school. You can see the problem, right? And so it was an issue. And then all of a sudden, God blessed us with another vehicle, a used vehicle that we haven't had any problems with. But I think back, I think, how much money did I cost myself by having unfinished business? I remember as a young guy having unfinished business. I remember having issues in my life that I needed to deal with, but I did not want to get somebody in my life that I trusted to talk to them about it. I had unfinished business. I'll never forget the first time I stepped into a small group at this church. It was called Life. We decided to do this Life small group, and it changed my life. Literally, because it showed me that, hey, you've got unfinished business, but there's a bunch of people in here that also have unfinished business, and we can all work on it together. I had to deal with the issues in my heart, and I had to deal with it with other people. That was the step that I needed to take, and I had this unfinished business. There's been plenty of times I've had those things, and I think we all have. We all have this unfinished business that God has called us to do something. I talked to a woman one time in my office. We were counseling. I was counseling with her and her husband, and as we were talking, we're doing like a premarital counseling, and I just asked her. I said, "What is it that you're supposed to do? Like, what is it that you're called to do?" And she just said, "You know, I really feel called to be a nurse. You know, I want to be a nurse." And I said, "Well, what are you doing now?" And she said, "Well, now I'm just working this job. I'm just doing this thing." And I said, "Well, why aren't you a nurse?" And she said, "Well, I would have to go back to school." And I said, "Well, why aren't you going back to school?" And she said, "Well, it would take a little bit of time." And I said, "Well, what's stopping you from fulfilling your unfinished business?" And sometimes we just need somebody to ask us those questions and say, what's stopping you? And this may sound like it's not very spiritual. You're talking about getting a job. You're talking about going back to school. But you don't know what it is that God wants to do in your life. You don't know what it is that where God wants to take you in your life. But because you have this unfinished business here, it's keeping you from getting where God wants you to go. God, we cry out to God. We say, God, let me do something great. Let me do something great. And God says, okay, take this next step. And we say, yeah, but you don't understand, God. I can't do that. Let me do something great. And God said, I want you to do something great, but I need you to finish your business right here. Yeah, but I don't want to. Have you ever had kids that are like that? My kids get preached about a lot. God love them. But the other day, we're sitting there, and one of my sons is playing in a room. And I said, hey, I need you to get in here and clean up your room. And as soon as they walk out of the room, they take off and go to the kitchen. And I said, no, you misunderstood me. I said, get in here and clean this room. My son said, yeah, but I got to get water. I said, you weren't thirsty when you were playing in the other room. But when Dad tells you to do something, now all of a sudden, thirst hits you. You will survive if you go in here and clean your room. But I promise you, you won't survive if you go get the water you think you need. Right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. If you're a very soft parent today, you've stepped into the wrong church. So my son went and saved his rear end and cleaned his room. And guess what? He never did go get water. Funny how that works out. And we do that with God all the time. God says, I need you to do this. And we say, yeah, but I got to do this first. Yeah, but I got to do this first. What are you missing? Like, what are we missing out on that God really needs us to do and wants us to do? So I want to talk about, how do we finish? Like, how do we, we've got this thing started here. For some of us, we've got it started. Maybe for some of you, it's getting plugged into church. And you've stayed in church for a long time and you've never gotten plugged in. You need to finish what you started. Maybe God's got somebody for you to reach, and you just need to take that next step to get there. So how do we finish what we started? I want you to look at a guy in the Bible named Samson. He's going to be in Judges chapter 13. So what I would love for you to do is if you have a chance this week, read Judges 13, 14, and 15. Check out Samson's life. Check out what all happened to Samson. It's an interesting read. But in Samson chapter 13, in Judges chapter 13, verse 5, we're going to read about Samson's calling here. Now, Samson's mama couldn't have babies, and so an angel came to Samson's mom, and he prophesied that she was going to have a kid. And here's what the angel said to her. He said, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child will be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." God has called Samson to save Israel from the Philistines. And I'm going to tell you, Samson's not unlike most of us in this room. He lived in a time not unlike our society and culture to this day. See, in Samson's time, it's a book called The Judges. And the reason it's called Judges is because they didn't have a king and they didn't have a strong leader. And the Bible continually says in the book of Judges that the people did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And that's exactly where we're living today. That's exactly where our society is today. We just do what we think is right in our own eyes. Oh, there's law and there's constitution, but we make it up as we go along. Because if it feels right to you, then it must be okay. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We never base our life on our feelings. We always base our life on the Word of God. Because the Word of God doesn't change, but your feelings change all the time, right? And so it's important to see that. And in this day, that's exactly where these people are living. And because of that, Israel kept messing up. They would serve God for a minute, and then they would drop back and serve other gods. And God would send in people to kind of wake them up. He sent the Philistines and said, the Philistines are going to conquer you. They're going to dominate you, and they're going to wake you up from your sleep here. And he rose up a man named Samson. And from the womb, Samson is called to defeat the Philistines. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this room is called to something. From the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, God had a plan for you. And you may say, yeah, but Gabriel, I don't even serve God. It doesn't matter if you serve God or not. You're still called. God still has a design for your life. God still has a plan for your life. And He still wants you to fulfill it. And He wants you to finish it. And so that was the deal with Samson. And so I want to look at a couple of things that we need to do, a couple of steps we need to take in order to fulfill the calling God has on our life, in order to finish strong. Okay? Here's the cool thing about Samson, too. Let me give you this little side note. Samson was very strong. Like, superhuman strong. But the cool thing about Samson is he didn't look strong. The Bible says, if the Bible would have said that he had big muscles, I would understand. If the Bible would have said he was 8 feet tall and 500 pounds, I would understand. But the Bible says that everybody that fought against Samson never could understand the secret of his strength. So that leads most scholars to believe he looked like all the rest of us. He was a normal-looking dude, except he had super long hair because the Bible says he never cut his hair, right? And so he's a normal-looking guy, and no one could figure out the secret of his strength. But the secret of his strength, we'll get into in just a minute, but I want you to have that in the back of your mind. So the first thing we need to do is we need to make a commitment. We need to make a commitment. Tim talked about going to the gym. What's the first thing you got to do if you want to get healthy and you want to go to the gym? You make a commitment. Can I tell you something? Throwing a couple dumbbells in your garage is not making a commitment. I love it. I wish that worked. I wish that worked. And I got about half a dozen dumbbells collecting dust in my garage right now. You know what I mean? You know what helped me? Is I made a commitment. I put my money where my mouth was. I went and paid for a gym membership. And if you're cheap like me, you don't want to waste money. So I get every dime out of that gym membership. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, hey, look, if I'm going to pay for it, I'm going. And I'll go every day. And I'll use all their water. I tell people all the time, I take more showers at the gym than I take at home because I'm using that $80 I pay. I use their soap. I use their towels. I use everything they've got. My wife takes the towels home. She's got a problem. We got to pray for her. It's so funny, like, for real, let's just pause on the sermon. I will come home all the time, and I'll look in her car, and there will be gym towels in her car. And I'll say, babe, what are you doing? You're going to get me arrested or kicked out of the gym. And she says, I don't even think about it. I just put it around my neck, and I just walk right out. I said, they got a big bin next to the door that says towels. I just forget. I'll take it back. We got a full set of gym towels at our house. So you got to make a commitment. Now, Samson's life, the commitment was kind of made for him. The Bible says that he was told to be a Nazarite. Now, what Nazarite means in the Bible is it was this vow that people had to take. It was this special commitment that they had to make. And so the vow was this. You could never cut your hair. Never cut your hair. As a matter of fact, Samson ended up walking around with 7 braids of hair. So imagine how long this dude's hair is. If from the time he was born until he's a grown adult, he has never put a razor to his head. He's got this long hair tied up in braids. The Bible says that the Nazarite could never touch anything dead. Never touch anything dead. So not a human, not an animal. If something dies, you can't touch it. You can't touch it. And then the other one was, they couldn't drink wine, but they couldn't just drink wine. They couldn't do anything with grapes. They couldn't eat grapes. They couldn't eat raisins. They couldn't drink grape juice. They couldn't go hang out at the vineyard. Like, they had nothing to do with anything that had to do with grapes or any kind of alcoholic drink. These guys had this huge commitment they had to make. These 3 things, they had to make this commitment. And that's really what we need, is we need to have that attitude of, if I'm going to finish what I've started, if I'm going to finish this dream, this purpose that God's put inside of me, there's a commitment that I've got to make. There's a commitment that I've got to make. For me, a lot of times some of you that follow me on social media see that my kids and I ran a Spartan race yesterday, and that's one of my hobbies. I love to run these races, and so we went and ran the Spartan race yesterday in Fort Benning, and while we were down there, it just reminded me the commitment that it takes. Like, I can't just get up in the morning and say I'm going to go run 5 miles with obstacles. Like, I don't just do that. Like, it takes weeks of preparation, sometimes months of preparation. I've got another one coming up in the fall that's going to be somewhere between 13 and 15 miles, and then obstacles in the mountains. Like, it's going to be hard. It will take months of preparation to get there. It will take commitment. It doesn't just take paying to get in. It takes, I've got to get myself ready. And that's how it is for us. We say we want to do something great, but we're not ready to make the commitment and do what it takes to get there. We got to make a commitment today. Jesus, look at Luke chapter 22. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's praying. The Bible says he's praying so hard that he's literally sweating blood. The veins, they're leaking in his face and blood is coming out. He's so disturbed. And he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. At that moment in time, Jesus drew this line in the sand and said, this is commitment. And I'm crossing the commitment line today. He says, it's not my will. It's not what I want. It's not what I desire. I'm willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. I'm committing myself fully to the purpose God has for me. The first step is commitment. The second step is easy. It's take the next step. Take the next step. And emphasis is on next here. Because I think it's important to understand that the first step is commitment. But then what's the next step? The next step is kind of determined by different circumstances. And I want you to look, something I thought was really neat is Samson is constantly having the Holy Spirit rushed upon him. And in the English Standard Version, they use the word rushed, and I like that. I like the idea of the Spirit rushing upon somebody. In Judges 13:25, Judges 14:6, and Judges 14:9, all of those verses talk about Samson facing an issue and the Holy Spirit rushes upon him. So he's walking along a path and a lion jumps out and is about to eat him. The Bible says the Holy Spirit rushed upon him. He grabs the lion with his bare hands and rips him in half, tears the lion apart with his bare hands. How did that happen? He had the Holy Spirit on him. And the Holy Spirit would lead him in those moments of not understanding, what am I supposed to do in this situation? The Holy Spirit would rush upon him and he would do whatever that next step was required. Here's the cool thing that I think about this is the fact that Samson had the Spirit on him, but the Bible says in the New Testament that we have the Spirit in us. We don't sit around and wait on the Holy Spirit to rush upon us. I don't sit around and wait for God to move on me. I have God inside of me. I can always go to that well. I can always go to Him and get my next step. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. See, God's not going to give you something and not give you the steps to follow through on it. He's not going to tell you to do something and then not show you the next step. The book of Psalms says that His Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. In other words, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you. And He says, Paul says here in Galatians, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. Here's what that means. It means that the Spirit is already walking. All we have to do is keep up. Yesterday I was running this race and I'm having a good time and I'm making good time and I'm running and I got this older guy had gotten kind of in front of me a little bit, and so we got to this point where I was about to pass him and he kind of slowed down and said, come on, go past me. And I said, no, you're running a really good pace. I'd rather just stay right behind you if you don't mind, and I want to just stay on your pace. And this guy's a very experienced runner, very good runner, and so I just got right behind him. Now, there were moments in the race I could have passed him. There were moments I could have passed him. And there were probably moments in the race he could have left me. But I just stayed with him the whole way through and ended up coming up with one of my best times I've had so far. And it was because I kept in pace. I kept in step with the guy in front of me, that he was leading the way. And I think the same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is steady running this race called life. And He's telling you, I want you just to keep in step with me. Don't try to get ahead of me. Don't try to do things in your own way. Don't try to make up your own plan. You just stay in step with me and I will lead you. I will pace you out. I will show you every step that you need to take. But we've got to be willing to listen for the Holy Spirit inside of us to speak to us. So often we expect the big rush of the Holy Spirit. We expect the big hurricane. We expect the voice from heaven. And God's saying, I'm a still small voice. I'm a whisper inside of you. I will lead you and guide you if you'll allow me to do it. I'm kind of that way of sometimes wanting to take two steps ahead before the Holy Spirit even gets there. And I've got to learn to take a step back, stay in pace, stay in step with Him.
the third step, or this is really more of an understanding, but you need to understand that finishing isn't free. If you want to finish, it's going to cost you something. Samson was in constant conflict with the Philistines. It wasn't one of these things where God says, you're going to save the people from the Philistines. And then he stood up on a hill and said, Philistines, go away. And they all left. We get that mindset, though. We think, God's called me to do this thing. God's telling me to forgive this person. And so I'm just going to, God, I forgive them. And now it's off. You know, I just turned that off in my brain and now I'm done. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. There is going to be conflict. Finishing isn't free. There's going to be something to come against you. Look at Judges chapter 15. This is a really cool story. We're going to look at four verses. Verse 14 says, talking about Samson, came to Lehi, and the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arm, he was tied up, the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that had caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands, and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and put his hand and took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. Now this is a cool story. Anytime you can take a bone and kill 1,000 people with it all by yourself, I mean, that's stout. This is a guy I wouldn't mess with, right? And so Samson's got this jawbone. He kills 1,000 people with it. He's got the Holy Spirit rushing upon him. He's on this high. He feels great. And look, I'm going to tell you something. He didn't just do one swipe and 1,000 people fell over dead. He had to fight 1,000 people. Now, my kids will jump on me sometimes and they will fight me for 5 minutes and I'm worn out. You know what I mean? And so I can't imagine having to fight 1,000 grown men with the jawbone of a donkey. And so Samson's fighting. He's had this great victory, but it's a conflict. It's a really cool thing that happened. And then look at what happens in verse 18. And he was very thirsty, no doubt. And he called upon the Lord and said, you have granted me this great salvation by the hand of your servant. Shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? And God split open a hollow place that is at Lehi, and water came out of it. And he drank, and his spirit returned, and he was revived. Here's the thing. Whenever you're going to do something, if you want to finish something, you got to understand there's going to be conflict. There's going to be some price you have to pay. And I find it very interesting that Samson went through this whole spiritual, you know, Holy Spirit rushed on him. He kills 1,000 people. Great victory. He's pumped up. The church is excited. Everybody's clapping. Everybody's cheering. And then all of a sudden, he says, now I'm about to die of thirst. You know, why? Because there's constant conflict. If you want to do something great, if you want to finish what God's called you to do, you're going to have to fight through some pain. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross daily. Jesus said that you will have a cross you bear every single day. There's a price you pay every single day if you want to finish. If you want to finish. So maybe your issue is God wants you to forgive somebody. We're kind of hitting that a lot, but maybe that's your issue today is God wants you to forgive somebody. Can I tell you, it will be an everyday battle. Because one day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, today I'm going to forgive them. And then you'll go back to sleep and the next day you'll wake up and you'll say, I can't do it. They hurt me so bad. And then the next day you'll go to talk to them and you'll say, today I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to forgive them. And you go to talk to them and then you just kind of wuss out and you just get mad all over again and you think about what they did to you and you just, you know, it's every day. It's a battle until you finish. And you just have to know that going into it. And what we do sometimes is we think if we're in the will of God that it's all sunshine, roses, and rainbows, and it's not. It's not. God never calls us to that kind of place. As a matter of fact, the times whenever you feel like life is sunshine, roses, and rainbows, you might be on the wrong path. Jesus said there's a wide gate. There's a big old path that's wide open for you, but it leads to destruction. But there's a narrow gate, and there's a narrow path that leads to life. And that understanding of narrow there means that you're almost on a razor's edge. You're right on the edge of a cliff and you're just barely making it across. And Jesus said, that's the kind of commitment you got to have to make it to life. He said, it's not going to be easy. But if you go that way, you're going to find life. It's important for us to understand that today. And then the last thing that we need to have is we need to understand that finishing requires focus. That was Samson's biggest problem, was focus. If any of you have ever read his story before, you're going to understand that that's his biggest issue. And for those of you that go ahead and read it after we leave today, then you're going to see this. It's really kind of sad to me. He couldn't stay focused. The Bible says that Samson showed up at vineyards. Remember the dead lion, the lion he killed? He goes back to it later, and it's dead on the side of the road, and he's touching it, digging, you know, honey out of it where bees made a beehive. So he's been in vineyards. He's touching dead bodies. And then he's out sleeping with prostitutes. He's hooking up with all the wrong women. He hooks himself up with this woman named Delilah. And whenever he... Don't play that song for real. I was just teasing. I just thought about that. And so he hooks himself up with this woman named Delilah. And in the course of time, Delilah begins to pester him and pester him and pester him about his secret to all of his strength. And like a dummy, he finally falls into her trap, not knowing that she was being paid off by the Philistines. And he says, you know what? Honestly, if you cut my hair, I'll have no strength. I'll be like any other man. The Bible says he fell asleep on her lap. And while he's sleeping on her lap, she got somebody to come in and cut his hair. And the Bible actually says she tormented him. And this is exactly what the devil wants to do to you. He does not want you to finish what God's called you to do. And he wants to constantly torment and pester you. He wants to make your life miserable. And he's going to torment you. And then the Bible says let's look at it real quick. Judges chapter 16, verse 21. They cut off his hair, and the Bible says that the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. His lack of focus led to him being put in prison. His lack of focus led to him being a laughingstock. And as a matter of fact, as you read through the story, you'll find out that they would use him as a clown. They would bring out the great champion, Samson. And in order for him to come out to their parties, they would have to have a little boy lead him around by the hand because he was blind and in shackles. He was just a shadow of him, of his old self. And they would laugh at him and probably throw stuff at him. And he was their clown. He was their entertainment. That's what happened because of a lack of focus. But how do we have focus? We need to learn to say no to bad stuff, or say no to good stuff now, so that we can say yes to great stuff later. Part of our issue, and part of my issue sometimes, is I love to get started doing something. I wanted to do those floors. And I got started doing those floors. But then all of a sudden another project shows up, and I got to go do this project. And then this happens over here, and I got to do this. And Perry says, yeah, but the trim's not done. I said, I'll get to it in a minute. And I never got to it. God's called us to do certain things. And we're on the path, we're needing to finish, and then all of a sudden we see something that catches our eye, and we start doing that. And people offer us maybe a good opportunity, right? It may be a good opportunity. Samson's looking at this woman, and he's already had some issues with women where he lost a wife, and then she was killed, and he's been through some bad stuff in his life already. And he looks at this woman and probably thinks, she's good. Like, she's pretty, and she's somebody in the community. How many times have we entered into a relationship and thought, this is a good thing, because look at them. On the outside, everything's perfect. The inside, they might be rotten to the core. And Samson says yes to what he thought was good, instead of saying no to good so that he could have, say yes to something great later. Paul says it like this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. He says, set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. God's called you to something higher, so stay. stop focusing on all this stuff here when God's called you to do something up here. Proverbs chapter 4, 25 says, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." Jesus is constantly telling us, don't look back. Jesus says, you can't accomplish anything if you put your hand to the plow, but you're looking backwards. You'll go crooked. He says, look forward. Go straight ahead. Do what I've called you to do. Stay focused. Stay focused. I want to look at the end here. We've got to finish strong. We've got those steps. And if we follow those steps, I believe we can finish strong. And here's the thing. I think sometimes we think that we've done too much bad stuff. We've made too many bad choices. We've been off the rails for too long. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I just, you know, I know I need to do this, but I just haven't done it. I've been unfocused. I've been undisciplined. I've made some bad choices. I said yes to some things I should not have said yes to. And it might be too late for me. I feel like Samson. And maybe some of you today, you feel like Samson. You feel like your eyes have been gouged out, and you feel like you're a laughing stock, and you're a little bit embarrassed. You're a little bit insecure. Can I tell you, when we were singing this song earlier today, I almost got up on stage, and I almost called out for prayer, because I feel like God was saying to me that there's some people in the room today, the reason you're not finishing is because you're insecure and you don't think you're good enough to finish. You don't think you're good enough to finish. I want you to look at Judges 16, 22, and I want to show you something. You are good enough to finish, because after all Samson did, look at what this says. But the hair of his head began to grow again. The hair of his head began to grow again. Now that's a little verse, and that may not mean much to some of you, but for those of you that feel like you've given everything up, that you've wasted all of your life, you've wasted all of your time, you've made all the wrong decisions, it's good news to hear that the hair of his head began to grow again. What does that tell me? That tells me at the worst failure, at the point of my very worst failure, that God can bring life back to my situation. The hair began to grow again. So they bring Samson out to this big party, right? And they're going to bring him out to this big party, and they're going to laugh at him, and they're going to throw stuff at him. And they got the little boy leading him around by the hand. Look at verse 28. And Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me, and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed in his death were more than those who he had killed with his life. At the very end, after his worst failure, Samson says, "I'm going to finish this thing. I don't care what I've been through. I don't care that I got off the rails. I don't care that I've stopped about 1,000 times. I don't care that I haven't been focused. I don't care that I forgot the Holy Spirit leading me to those next steps. I'm going to finish what I've started." And he calls out to God and he says, "God, if you'll just do it this one more time, if you'll just strengthen me this one more time, I'll finish the job." Let me tell you something. God will finish what he starts. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Some of you are saying, "How can I finish, Pastor?" Let me tell you something. There's a spirit inside of you. There's a God that loves you, and he will bring it to completion. He started something good in you, and he will lead you to the finish line. You think, I've wasted too much time. I've had my head shaved and my eyes gouged out. He'll make the hair grow again. He'll return all your strength to you. All you got to do is call out to him. All you got to do is say, "I'm putting my life in your hands. And that's exactly what Samson said. He said, I'm putting my life in your hands, God. I'm willing to die. I'm making a commitment today. I'm willing to die to see the vow that I've made. I'm willing to die today to see the purpose that you put in me from my mother's womb fulfilled. I'm willing to die for it. I'm going all out today. I'm giving everything I've got. What does God want from you today? He wants everything you've got. He wants you to commit everything you've got to Him. He wants you to follow Him on every next step. He wants you to stay focused. Even through the pain, even through the hardships, He wants you to stay focused. And if you do that, I promise you, you can finish what God started in you today. Won't you stand up with me this morning? This is how I want to end this service today. Sherry and some of our prayer team, they're going to be down here along the front, ready to pray with you today if you need prayer for anything. And I believe today that some of you just say, I need strength to finish. I need strength to finish. Can I tell you something? In order for Samson to put himself in a position to finish what he was called to do, he had to ask the little boy to help him. We got a prayer team today that say, hey, we'll help you. We'll pray with you. We'll stand beside you and agree with you spiritually that God will complete what He started in you. And we're going to sing this song, and as we sing this song, there may be some of you today that say, I've got some chains in my life that are holding me back. Just like Samson, I've got some chains that are holding me back. And maybe that chain is insecurity. Maybe that chain is fear. Today I want you to make sure that you allow the Holy Spirit to break every chain in your life. Bow your heads with me today. I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to call you down and let you leave like this today before someone dismisses us. But God, I just pray right now for everybody in this room that as we sing this song, God, that you would break every chain of insecurity, every chain of fear, every chain of sin, every chain of unforgiveness. I pray that you would begin right now to break every chain. And I pray, God, that we would make a commitment to finish what has been started in us. Help us to make that commitment today. Today, if you need to commit your life to Jesus Christ, you feel God's been calling you, you feel the Spirit's been moving on you, and you said, I don't know what it is, but something inside of me keeps telling me that I need to serve God with all of my heart. If that's you this morning and you've never made that commitment, just lift your hand up real quick. Let me see. We need to make a commitment to serve God. Thank you. Thank you. God, I just pray for everyone that raised their hand right now that today their commitment would be made to you, that they would serve you, they would give their hearts to you today, that they would live for you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.